time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. It is Saturday morning, 7:15. Steve Stone is here. Walk through the garden. How are you, Steve?
Fantastic. Sun's out. It's all good.
Yep. We had a little rainage last night, and I thought it was going to destroy the car show. Came up town. There's a pretty good amount of cars.
Yeah, the car show turned out, as always. I mean, our car club, you know, they do a fantastic job. So, the turnout was wonderful, considering it was a little cooler than you'd like the first weekend in May to be. And certainly we had a pretty significant shower blow through, but it didn't last long, but it was more than you'd like to see. But, the turnout was impressive for the way the weather was, and I think everybody stuck around. It was a nice crowd.
Very
good crowd. Very high quality cars, as usual. Great turnout, great for the community. I hope I'm assuming all the restaurants were busy. Everybody, again, the streets were pretty full, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, probably the restaurants were probably full when the rain was coming down.
Right.
But they always are, you know, in pretty good shape with people going in. And you gave away an award last night in memory of your dad. Tell us about that, and maybe if you can remember who won that. Can't think of his name, but it was
first name was Paul, 36 Pontiac. It was from Coldwater.
I'll
think of it in a minute.
Yep.
Dad, anybody that knows Larry Stone, my dad, he was to say he was a car enthusiast is just kind of an understatement. I grew up with him, and he was always, ever since he got, well, even before he went into the service, he was always a car guy, and he bought, sold, traded, restored cars his whole life, and amazing individual. He was always a Chevy guy, and he had, again, it doesn't matter, they're just Corvettes, Camaros, Novas, Impalas. He just really, El Camino, he just really was into cars. And him and his buddy, I can't talk about dad without talking about Dick Kreider.
Yep,
because Dick Kreider was one of the I don't know what you want to say, one of the crew, and unfortunately, I guess I should. Fortunately, we have one of that crew left here in town of those three yahoos, which would be Butch Luthold.
Yep,
and
that was quite a game.
Oh baby, can you imagine them three in a day? I would like to seen. I've heard a million stories, but Dick, Butch, and Dad. Just Dick was a driver. He drove. Racer out at Eldora. He drove a stock car, I guess, out there in the day. And Butch and Dad and Dick were just all kind of self-taught gearheads, and they really enjoyed cars and racing. And I could talk all day about all the stories I remember from Dad, and down at Dick Kreider station at the edge of town.
Yep.
Dick would be in there working, and I'd be down there in the store, and Dad and Dick would be out in the shop working. And
you're stealing candy bars, weren't you?
You know, yes. actually the old 7-Up machine that was down there from the 60s is actually in Mom's garage.
Oh,
we still have the old 7-Up machine, and Dick had an old glass candy case with the sliding back doors on it, with the mirrored backs and stuff. And he had a cigarette machine too, the pull cigarette machines. Yep. And I don't know what happened to the cigarette machine or that glass case, but if I could rebuild that in my garage, I would love to have those two pieces, because I have the 7-Up machine. But again, a lot of fond memories down there with those guys. And Dad unfortunately got early onset Alzheimer's and passed away September 22nd, 2007. And so my brother, Dave, and Mom and I decided to give an award at the car show every year in memory of him. And we call it the Stone Family Award. I think originally it was called the Stone Family, or the Stone Family Excellence Award, because Dad was always very, very, very particular about everything.
Yeah.
Lawn, landscape, cars, kitchen countertops, everything had to be just perfectly clean. But and we've done that in memory of him since he has passed. And last night it was really fun because my son Cade was with me, and Cade and I checked out pretty much every car uptown and looked them all over and decided to, you know, pick one that we were certain that Dad would like and get a kick out of. And so it was a 36 black 36 Pontiac. It set kind of right in front of Brick Street
Tavern now. Yeah.
And so
hard not to call it Tin Man, especially when you're talking to Mike last night for a while.
So we give an award out every year in memory of him, and it's got the picture on the plaque. It's got a picture of the tea bucket he built, and the tea bucket he started on back in, I'm going to say, the early 80s, and the first year it was on the road was 1984. The fall of 1984 was the first year it was on the road. And we took it to Minster to the Oktoberfest car show. Was the first show it went to. And it won first place there, and it pretty much won first place every place we ever took it. It was something he built and kind of had a dream or something in his head. And I still have it at home, and I've been offered lots of dollars for it, and people of all different places all over we've taken it to shows have offered to buy it or ask about buying it. And
does Jeff Bezos have enough money to buy that?
Nope, actually he doesn't. Yeah. No, that's
I would have bet on that answer.
That's yeah. Dad. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, really just not up for a debate on if that would ever get sold. You know, just watching him build it and seeing how he did it and the things he did. And he was an amazing engineer. He was an amazing person, amazing engineer, incredibly smart for a dude that quit high school at 17 and went into the service. So anyhow, great car show, and again, proud to give that award out every year in memory of Dad. And the plaque that Mom has made, again, with the tea bucket on it, is very beautiful, and I'm very proud to give it out.
Yep. And if I remember correctly, the guy was ecstatic to get it.
He
understands.
Yep.
What something like that means.
Yeah, and over the years I've given it out. There's a real close friend of Dad's that lives in Laura, Ohio, that, again, was a car show maniac, a car Chevy guy. And he used to come up to our show pretty regularly. His name's Jim Payne. And I gave it to Jim a number of years ago when he brought his 55 Chevy up. And Jim and Dad were very, very, very close, and he said, I've won a lot of awards with my car, but he said, I'll never win an award that will mean more to me than what this one does. And his buddy from Portland, Indiana, that he worked with for 35 years over at Teledyne Portland Forge, Norm Overton, who was a very close friend to Dad's.
Oh, yep. Heard that name a lot.
Yeah. Norm has multiple cars and is equally as much of a car nut as Dad was, and equally as particular as what Dad was. And I was proud to give it to Norm a couple of years ago. And again, it brought him to tears. And he said, I sure miss your old man. And he said, you know, it means a lot to me to have this in my garage with all my cars. So it's been fun to remember and talk to all his old friends that are still around and still catch a new story every now and again.
Yeah.
So.
And some of those are true. I know the stories seem to get better the farther away from the actual fact. Sometimes they get stretched a tad. Sometimes they get unstretched, and you get the distilled version instead of the real version. So that's always pretty interesting.
I can vividly remember, which hopefully the town, I guess it doesn't matter if the cops are listening or not, but Dad had a 70 Nova SS396, and it was fast.
Was it white?
It was dark green.
Oh, I do remember that.
It was dark green.
Yep.
I bought it in Union City wrecked. And Gene Abels fixed the front end, put a new bumper on it, mm-hmm. put a new hood on it. Dad and Butch rebuilt a motor, and it was, I don't know, maybe I embellish the story just because of it was so long ago, but I can remember being down at Dick Kreider's, and that car was always sitting down there because Dad and I was always down at Dick's, and it was like American Graffiti. You know, there'd be guys roll up, and it's like, is that the car? And it's
yeah,
that's the car. Well, let's, you know, let's see what they'll do, you know. And then Dad had a quarter mile marked out just beyond the railroad tracks on 26. And he would take me out there, but I'd have to stand in the side ditch because if Mom ever knew I was in the car yeah. when he was racing, she'd kill him. So I remember standing in the side ditch out along 26 watching Dad race, and I remember being down at Dick Kreider's, but I was never in the car because he wouldn't let me in the car. But he raced a lot of guys out there on 26, and just, yeah, again, funny memories, you know, standing with weeds up to my waist in the side ditch and Dad's drag racing somebody out on the highway. I look at that as the good old days, but
yeah,
that I remember that Nova vividly. Yeah. So
I do too. Now once you said it was green, he'd always had white cars. Yeah. So in my head I'm trying to remember a white one, and I did not remember a white one. As soon as you said the green, I remember that one very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And I want to mention, too, just because it's a really cool story, kind of talking cars today on Garden Talk. interesting, Mike Tin last Sunday invited me to a car show that he went to the previous year down in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, Stoney, you got to come down. It's a really cool show. And I'm like, yeah. I said, I'll make my schedule allow. So I get up early Sunday morning. Drove down to Lawrenceburg, which is a beautiful drive, and they had a huge car show downtown. I guess it kind of dovetails a little bit into the story before. Downtown Lawrenceburg, this kid, and I say kid, he's 21, puts on this car show. His name's Logan Lawrence, 21 years old. This is the fifth year he put the show on this last Sunday.
Wow. And he's 21?
He's 21.
Wow.
Had 900 cars. His grandpa was a car nut and mm-hmm. passed away of ALS. Yep. And he started when he was 16 to put the car show on. So this is the fifth year. He's got 900 cars. First car show he put on, he was 16. He's raised $100,000 that donated to ALS research.
Wow.
As of Sunday, when he handed awards out at 5 or 5:30, he said, I appreciate everybody coming. Thanks. You know, see you next year. We're going to do it again. I got to get going. And I talked to the kid a couple different times during the day because I got Mike Tin introduced me, and I got to talk to him a few different times. Kid's a senior at Purdue, so he had to drive from Lawrenceburg to West Lafayette, senior in mechanical engineering, and had finals all this last week. So he came back to Lawrenceburg, put on this huge car show, and then drove back to West Lafayette, and then had four finals this next week for mechanical engineering. So to say wow. the kid's impressive, to say the kid's an overachiever, you know, I don't know how you want to describe it, but yeah. Very, very, very well put together car show, very organized. Of course, like I said, 900 cars. Very impressive.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Because we've, you know, I think in the biggest we had here was up in the 180s, 190s, near 200.
Yeah, I think we've had I think we've eclipsed 200 of them.
Yeah, and I know if you count the car club guys that don't actually put theirs on the street and kind of in the back parking lots, we've been over 200 almost always. But
yeah.
But there's usually 20 cars or more that are kind of sitting back in behind the Kelly's Shoes and the AmeriGas and several places that they club members that don't have their cars out on display, I guess you call it. But yeah.
So yep. We'll take a break, and then we may even get to like some landscape garden discussion.
Yeah, maybe. We'll be back in just a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
The tickets for all the Indian softball tournament games this year will be sold online only. There will be no tickets available at the gate as in years past. To buy your tickets, go to OHSAA.org/tickets, then select softball, then Wapakoneta, then get tickets. Tickets are on sale now. Please pass the word so none of our fans get shut out of the games. Again, there will be no tickets available at the gate for any of the softball tournament games this year. All tickets must be purchased online at OHSAA.org/tickets. We're back. We went through, we just had our walk through the garage, and now we're going to go back to walk through the garden, probably.
Yeah, it's, again, we talked, you know, at the top of the show. Yeah, it's had a few frosty nights the last two nights, and then, you know, looking at the, I'm sitting here as I talk, looking at the forecast, and we've got one, two, three, four nights this upcoming week, well, actually five, that look like it's going to be in the mid to high 30s. So unusually cool spring. The forecast into May here, you know, highs, the warmest I'm seeing for the next 5 days is 64. Definitely a little cooler than normal. The only thing you really need to be careful about with those types of temperatures would be like your warm season, you know, vegetables like your tomatoes and peppers. They aren't going to like the cold temperatures, and certainly not like the cold air temperatures are certainly not going to like the cold soil temperatures either. So I mean, you can plant them now. You want to be very, very careful to cover them with the cooler nights. Like I said, I saw two nights at 34, 35. That's pretty chilly. That's not going to hurt wave petunias or your regular petunias or your marigolds or your snapdragons or anything like that. It's not going to bother them in the least, but there are some, you know, again, your warm season plants like your vegetables, tomatoes and peppers are certainly going to be affected by that. And I'm not saying they're going to be killed, but they're certainly going to be slow to grow, slow to take off, because you need warm soils and you need warm temperatures, and it doesn't look like we're going to have either. And again, that's not to say that it's not a good time to plant, especially, you know, perennial flowers, any type of woody trees and shrubs and landscaping and stuff like that. That actually couldn't be better as far as temperatures go, because you can get things moved in, planted. You're going to minimize transplant shock because you've got cool temperatures. The plants aren't going to transpire as much, so they're not going to be using as much moisture. They're not going to be needing as much moisture. The cool temps, again, are just going to promote quick and easy establishment, again, with your landscaping plants, perennial flowers, all your different types of perennial flowers. So good time to plant certain things, and you know, I would hesitate maybe to, I don't want to say I'd hesitate to plant. I would just be careful, again, if you've got containers or window boxes or whatever you're planting, if it's going to be really cool that night, either get them, you know, in the garage or push them, you know, up close to the house where they're going to be protected from the cooler nights. But again, you know, some things, you know, it's great to plant. I know I did a lot of seeding this spring early and when it was warm and sunny, and was actually hugely disappointed with the results early. But now that we've had more significant and consistent rainfall, actually it's coming in fantastic. It looks really good. I'm starting to see a lot more green than brown, and that's a good thing. So seeding, you got time to do that right now. Again, well, if the ground dries up enough to actually get your ground worked up, go ahead and get your lawn seeding done. Earlier the better on that. I mean, April's usually the best time to do that. But again, looking at the forecast, I wouldn't hesitate to, you know, go ahead and try to get any of those seeding projects done anytime here in May. Once we get past Memorial Day, unless you're doing, you know, small seeding areas, which is, you know, small, something that's you can drag a hose out to and set up a sprinkler and water. If you can effectively water it, go ahead and seed it, because you can obviously sprinkle it and get the grass up and growing. If you're talking about a bigger project, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 square feet or a lawn, backyard, so, you know, I would probably grit my teeth and just bear it and not do anything with that as far as the seeding goes until fall. Because once we get into, you know, mid-June and we start getting those warm, sunny days, real breezy, you're not going to be satisfied, I'm sure, with the germination. You're not going to be satisfied with the density. But you may get an awful lot of foxtail and crabgrass, which you probably don't want. So once we get later into the spring, you're just going to want to delay those seeding projects until, you know, get rolling on them in August, maybe mid to the end of August, and make sure all your seeding's done in September. Or late August is fine, but certainly you want to make sure that's all done in September. But, you know, with the time of year that it is, spring, and everybody's out, you know, hopefully enjoying the weather and shopping, again, a lot of different, you know, beautiful varieties of plants out there to purchase and enjoy, plant and enjoy. Wanted to kind of talk about, you know, shopping a little bit today as far as shopping for your plants. When you're out looking for plants, or if you're looking to do, you know, landscaping around your house, a lot of things you can do to help yourself get the right plants and get them in the right place. Obviously, I think everybody nowadays has a, you know, a smartphone. So if you have areas, spaces, corners, nooks, you know, front of your house, back of your house, around a patio, any place that you're thinking about landscaping, snap a few pictures of that before you head off to the local garden center. Make sure you have a few pictures. Have a rough, you know, dimension in mind as far as, is your patio 10 foot long? Is it 20 foot long? Whatever, you know, so you can give, you know, like somebody like myself, a little bit of input on size, the area you're working with. Exposure is important. You know, you want to know your direction, so you can say, hey, I have a north exposure. I'm landscaping the north side of my house. I'm landscaping the east side of my house. I'm landscaping the south side of my house. If you're having somebody help you pick plants and purchase plants, and they don't ask you what exposure you've got, don't even bother buying your plants there, because if they don't know where they're going, they cannot make a good decision on what you need to put in there, because sun, shade, you know, direction, wind direction, all that stuff makes a huge difference. There's plants that, you know, I always ask what exposure you have north, south, east, west. Another thing I'll always ask is, are you in town or out of town? Because if you're out of town and you go to west exposure and you've got a 200-acre field on the west side of you, that's going to be a really rough exposure for plants, because in the wintertime, they are going to get blasted all winter long with winter winds. If you're in town, and you got obviously in a neighborhood and there's houses all around you, it's going to be a lot easier exposure. So that all gets back to picking the right plant for the right site. And the more information you can give the person you're working with, the better selections you're going to make. And, you know, another thing from a homeowner standpoint, when you're looking to purchase a plant, I always kind of get a kick out of people. You know, they come in and they'll shop for something and they'll see whatever they like. Oh my gosh, look at that Japanese maple. I love it. I have to have it. It's beautiful. And it's like, well, where are you going to plant it? Well, I got this perfect spot for it right on the southwest corner of my house. And I'm like, you know, is it full sun? Yeah. You know, is, you know, and you can pick the plant that you like and love and put it in a situation or a position or a location where the plant is absolutely going to hate it. So you have to look at what you're buying and find a spot where it's going to fit, grow, and thrive around your house, not necessarily buy the plant and put and cram it into the spot where you want it, because where you want it may not be the best place for the plant. And so that gets back to, you know, right plant, right site, or right plant, right spot. And I do occasionally get invited to do talks and seminars through OSU Extension and different groups, and I always do try to do that topic, is right plant, right site, is picking the right plant, getting in the right location where it's going to have the best ability to grow, thrive, and succeed. And you don't plant, you know, a shade loving hosta again on the south, you know, west corner of the house, because that's the where you think you want them. Well, you may want them there, but they don't want to be there, because that's going to be a lousy location for that hosta, and it's going to get baked every summer. So you have to ask a lot of questions. Your plants should be tagged. If it's a container plant, there should be a plastic tag in it that explains the type of plant, exposure, height, you know, diameter. It gives you all that information. Again, all the plants, you know, that you get at your local garden centers are should be tagged, and they should have all that information on it. And if not, you know, you should be able to get those questions answered to make a good decision. So, again, you're buying a good plant for the right location. So we will need to get to another break, and we'll keep going after that.
All right. Back with a walk through the garden in just a minute.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green, and if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of great steaks on the grill. Wayne Street Market has everything you need for a great cookout. They have nicely trimmed steaks ready to go, and their ground chuck is $3.39 a pound, bulk or patties. Eckrich hot dogs are two for $3, and packages of Swaggerty brats are $3.99. And check out their fully cooked smoked pork chops. And it's time to get your catering orders in for your graduation party. From chicken to their party trays, fruit and veggie trays, sandwich trays, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. Get it all at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. It's going to be a busy day today for our softball and baseball teams. At 11 a.m., our girls will travel to New Bremen to make up Thursday's rained-out game. When that game is over, they'll head to Sydney Lehman to play the game that was originally scheduled, and that game will start at 2 o'clock. The boys will also play two different teams today. They'll host Marion Local at 2 o'clock in a makeup MAC game from a few weeks ago. Then New Bremen will come back to finish the game that was suspended last night in the middle of the fifth inning. Get to as many games as you can today to support our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, we'll bring you both the baseball games right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back on a walk through the garden. We've gone through a little bit of the garden and the yard, and we've gone through the garage. And you got some more of the garden thing, since that's what we're really supposed to do, or you want to do some more garage talk?
Well, we can. I'm up for anything. I hope. I just can't wait till this fall, and then maybe we can even talk about the Buckeyes football team a little bit. That's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. But no, this time of year, we need to be walking through the garden and the lawn. I know, you know, talking before the break about picking the right plant for the right site. That's, you know, very important. I always have people tell me, well, I don't have a green thumb. And it's like, if you just check off a few of the things I had mentioned, right plant, right site, you know, ask a few questions, get them, you know, get your plants, you know, dug in and planted properly with a, you know, loosen the ground up, you know, tease the dirt clods apart. If they're really nasty, just pitch them and get some nice topsoil, mix that in with what you currently have. And if you plant properly in water, and I think anybody can have a green thumb if given the right direction. I think anybody can have a green thumb. Wanted to switch gears again quickly and talk with the time we have left about lawns. Lawns have been challenging. They're growing well. I know mine is, this season is just really taken off, other than the area that was damaged. The existing turf has really done well. And again, the reason mine is a bluegrass lawn, the reason it's done so well, one of the reasons is we've had a lot of rain recently, but also, bluegrass is a cool season grass, so it likes, you know, cool nights and warm days, and we've had cool nights and warm days. So the conditions have been absolutely perfect for growing bluegrass. And so if you, you know, again, if you haven't done your pre-emergent, you're probably too late to do your pre-emergent, but, you know, fertilizing and broadleaf weed control is perfectly fine this time of year. What I noticed, and again, it gets challenging, or it has been challenging the last week or so, just because we've had so much rain. The ground's been saturated. We get rains frequently. Staying on top of mowing has been, you know, challenging for everybody. One thing to kind of try to take into consideration, or do if you miss a mowing or you miss the night you're supposed to mow and things get a little hairy and out of control, instead of going through when you can get into the lawn and mow, instead of going through and mowing at that same height that you normally do, maybe set your mower up a notch or two and mow the yard, so you're not scalping or cutting a dramatic amount of the blade's area off. You never want to take more than about a third off, because then it kind of puts the plant in a shock kind of a situation. So if you're mowing a half of the blade off, A, it's going to ball up and be a nasty, gnarly mess, and then you're going to be raking or sweeping to get the clumps up. Maybe set that mower up a notch or two, mow it, come back in the following day or the day after that and set it down a notch and mow it again. To me, that's a lot easier and looks a lot nicer and is actually a lot better practice on your lawn than just going through and mowing and then bagging it or raking it when you're done. Set your mower up a notch or two. Make sure your blades are sharp. It's really important time of year to make sure your blades are really, really, really sharp. So you get a clean cut on that blade. And then if you have a mulching type mower, you just get a sharp blade that's going to cut that blade surface up in as tiny a pieces as possible. Also, I noticed last time I mowed, and so it's only going to get worse. This time of year, this is the time of year that your bluegrass is going to go to seed. So you're going to see these tall seed heads on top of your usually kind of a little bit taller than what your grass is. And that's very normal. I mean, that's predictable this time of year to see your bluegrass go to seed. The one thing that is a little bit problematic is those seed heads and those stalks that are the seeds are hanging off of are very rigid, wiry, tough little stems, and they don't cut very nice. So again, that's another reason to make sure your blades are sharp so you can cut those real effectively. If your blades are really dull, the blades won't cut those at all. They'll just tear them. And then when you're done mowing, the next day you look at the lawn and it kind of has a whitish tan cast to the lawn itself. And that's because all those stalks have been ripped or torn. If you cut them clean, you don't notice that as much. So, and that only, you know, that's the grass going to seed is something that's going to be a week or two, and then it's, you know, it's gone for the season. So it's not something that's going to last for a long time. But as that turf is producing all that seed, it is taking a lot of energy to produce that seed. So it can, you know, take a little bit away from the growth habit, the growth rate, because it's producing all that seed. But nothing, you know, to get, you know, overly excited about, other than, again, just make sure, you know, the blades are sharp, and it's going to make a big difference and how the lawn looks after you get done mowing. I got to get to work, so
this is real work.
We're done.
You're educating the public.
Oh, I like doing that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I'll let you get some physical work done, because I know your boss is mean.
That's right.
She looks nice.
Yes, she does. Absolutely,
but she does. But she can...
She cracks the whip.
Yeah, things have to get done, man.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Again, please call, email, whatever. Yep. Get me some questions or topics.
If you have questions you definitely want answered, or you just want to have topics that you sort of know about anyway, but want to make sure other people know about,
we'll take Chevy questions, too.
Yeah.
We'll take old Chevy questions and lawn and garden.
Yep. That'll work.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.